Yeah, let's hear it for the Gray family. Thankful for them. Oh, I love this time of year when we do our growth campaign and we hear testimonies and skits and all kinds of fun stuff like that as we learn about families and we grow closer to God and to each other. This is a wonderful and marvelous time that God is doing in our church, and we praise the Lord for that. This campaign we've been doing, this series on authentic Christianity, living out what we believe, walking the walk and talking the talk, and they go together in doing that. We've had a memory verse that we are learning and practicing, and I hope that you all have it memorized already, right? Everybody good on memorizing it? Okay, who needs help? Anybody need help? All right, well, good. Let's have another memory lesson today. Jesse, throw up the memory verse. This is our memory verse from Philippians 2, 14 through 15. Let's read it together. Philippians 2, 14 through 15. You ready? Do everything without grumbling and arguing so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God who are faultless in a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world. Philippians 2, 14 through 15. How about we do that one more time? You ready? Okay, sounds like you are. Here we go. Philippians 2, 14 through 15. Do everything without grumbling and arguing so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God who are faultless in a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world. Amen. God is teaching us a lot. And I love that verse. That's the very first verse that's in the Signs of Life book that we're doing weekly. And that's just been a perfect timing for that verse to be there. And it's just amazing. We've talked about in this campaign a lot of stuff. We've talked about how we need a spiritual heartbeat. We need worn out knees that pray. We need dusty shoes that surf, that go and that are moving. We need rolled up sleeves that are serving and meeting needs. We need to do all of that, and we've learned so much. This week, we're focusing on open-handed Christianity. And I love what we did yesterday. We had a group of people that cooked hamburgers. We do this every year, and I love it. It's so cool. We grilled hamburgers. We had chips. We had Cokes. And we set up in front of Booker's Garage, and we gave those away. And people, and I love it every year because they say, oh, you're here for a cause. And they want to lay down money. And they say, I'm so sorry. We're not taking money. And they say, well, we want to donate. And then we say, we're not going to let you donate. And they look at us like we're crazy. Why don't you want money? And we simply say this, we're not here to take your money. We're here to love on you in the name of Jesus. And we did that yesterday. We gave back to the community, and it was wonderful. Marshall Veach, best hamburger griller this side of the Ohio River. And I did pretty awesome, pretty good stuff. But I understand the struggle. You go to get something, somebody wants to give it to you for free, they want to bless you with it, and you ask this question, okay, what's the catch? I mean, listen, I like a free t-shirt like anybody else does. I like a free vacation. I like a free iPhone. But I know that if I'm going to get those things, there's going to be a timeshare spill. I know there's going to be a credit card application. And I know there's going to be like a lifelong contract that wants the blood of my firstborn. You know what I mean? I know that you don't really get anything for free. So when we are doing stuff like blessing people, open-handedly giving out hamburgers, it just wigs people out. But I get it. I mean, I totally get it. And I get frustrated because I see that and I say, oh, man, it's another gimmick. They're just trying to get my money because, you know, I work hard for what I have just like you do. And when you work hard for it, you want to keep it and you want to play with it and you want to enjoy it. And you really don't want to share it. You know what I mean? These are my toys. Go get your own, you know, and that's a real life. And sometimes we in Christianity, we like to kind of mask this with the word stewardship. Well, we're just being a good steward, which God commands us to do, but yet we better not give or sacrifice because we wouldn't be a good steward. And Satan kind of uses that to mess with us because we think, well, in the name of being a good steward, I should never help somebody. I should always hold on to what I have because I'm a, quote, good steward. Well, stewardship is not about hoarding. Did you know that? Stewardship's about just taking care of what you have. And sometimes when you take care of what you have, it means that you have a hand that knows how to hold it, for how long to hold it, and then to let go of it. See, that's part of stewardship as well. See, we as Christians are not called to live tight-fisted lives. We're not called to be people that says, well, you don't ask me for anything. You don't expect anything from me. You let me be a hoarder in all my hoarder ways. Just don't ask anything from me. I want to hold on as much as I can. Tight-fisted living is so, so dangerous. Anybody ever read the book Where the Red Fern Grows or seen the movie if you're not a reader? Okay. There's a story. Remember the grandpa that tells a story in that about the raccoon? You remember that? He tells a story that there's a raccoon, and he says, how do you trap a raccoon without the hard work, you know? He says, you take a log, and you drill a hole in it, and then you put something shiny in the log, and you put nails around the hole, and then you bend the nails up a little bit, and that raccoon will come. He'll see something shiny. He'll reach in there, and he'll grab it, and when he goes to pull it out, the nails are just a little bit over the hole, just enough to where when he's trying to yank it out, what happens? It doesn't come out. But that greedy little booger won't let go of that thing. And in The Red Fern Grows, they say that that little raccoon is going to hold on to that tight-fisted, just so tight, until somebody comes along and bops him on the head and turns him into a Daniel Boone hat, is what happens. See, tight-fisted Christianity is so, so dangerous because it leads us to death. It leads us to being materialistic. It leads us to holding on to stuff that kills us in the end. Well, Kenny, I don't have a lot. I don't have a lot. So I've got to hold on to what I have. Pew Research said this. I read an article. It was really neat. 9 in 10 Americans. So if we were to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 9 of those would fall into this category, and you'd keep going. Now, that's a statistic. That's a statistic nationwide. But 9 in 10 Americans, listen to this, have a standard of living that is above the global middle income standard, including some nations where people live off of less than $2 a day. So if you are living in the United States of America today, can I tell you something? You are blessed today. You're blessed. And if you don't think you have a lot compared to the rest of the world where they don't have shoes, where they have infectious diseases that are spreading because of lack of clean water, lack of clothing, lack of shoes, and things like that, you're pretty blessed. And if you today are a believer in Jesus Christ, and Christ is in your life, you're blessed. Amen. So today, if you are a believer in Jesus and a follower of Jesus, and you live in America, can I tell you something? You are doubly blessed today. You are doubly blessed if Christ is in your life and you're living in this nation. So how can we, as doubly blessed people, if you know Jesus, and that's the ultimate blessing, because here's the reality, you can take everything I have, I'm still going to keep my Jesus, you can't take him from me, and I will still be richer than anybody without Jesus if he's in my life. Always. Always. And I'm blessed today. So what we see is that we as a blessed people cannot be tight-fisted. We are to use what God has given us. Are you ready for this? Just like yesterday, a walking illustration. We use what we have to help other people. To help other people. Are you today using your resources to help the hurting, the hopeless, and the hungry today? Oh, Kenny, you suckered us in again. I thought you only preached on tithing once a year. Well, listen, today it's not a tithing sermon. It's just a sermon on being a generous person. It's a sermon today on not just giving money to your church, though that's very important that you tithe and you live for the Lord and being obedient through tithing, but if that's what you're hearing today, you are totally missing the point of my message. The point of my message today from God's Word is that you are to use what you have, whatever God has given you, in the amount God has given you, in the quantity and the quality that God has given you, and you are to use what has passed into your hands. Are you ready for this? To help people in our church, in our community, in our city, and in our nation, and in our world to have a better living. Are you with me on that? You are to use what you have to help other people. To use what you have to open up your hands and to help somebody by using your resources and transferring what's in your hands to somebody else. Now, the reality is these hands are supposed to stay open. Because if we hold on to them and we grasp onto them all the time, we will die with our possessions. You ever been to Egypt? Yeah, me neither, okay? But they say, if you go in those pyramids, those old kings, they were buried with treasures and gold and all that stuff, only for it not to go to the afterlife with them, only for tomb robbers to come in one day and to steal it. The reality is you hold on to it, you die with it. So here we go. Christians live with open hands instead of closed hands. Y'all with me on that today, church? We live for Jesus Christ, and we help people. We help people. We are not to be selfish and greedy. We are to help people. Today is not a sermon on giving to the church. It's a sermon on giving to people. Amen. And it's a sermon on helping your neighbors and helping those you are connected to, helping those that surround you and just blessing somebody in the name of Jesus. There's three questions that we're going to look at today about being an open-handed Christianity. We go to the Bible, so take your Bible and look in Deuteronomy chapter 15. A lot of people don't like the Old Testament, specifically the laws of Moses, but the laws of Moses reflect the holiness of God and it reflects the goodness of God. And when Jesus died on the cross, he put the goodness of God and the holiness of the law inside of us that we could never meet on our own, but he put the character of that into us. So when you read Deuteronomy 15, and we look at the passage today, starting in verse 7, the Bible reads this, and this was a command to the Israelites. They're getting ready to go to the promised land. They're not there yet. They're in the desert. They're getting ready to. And God speaks to them. He says, if there is a poor person among you, one of your brothers within any of your gates in the land of the Lord your God is giving you, you must not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards your poor brother. Instead, you are to open your hand to him and freely loan him enough for whatever need he has. Be careful that there isn't this wicked thought in your heart that the seventh year, the year of canceling debts is near or it's coming, and you are stingy towards your poor brother and you give him nothing. See, he will cry out to the Lord against you. And you will be guilty. Give to him and don't have a stingy heart when you give. And because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you do. For there will never cease to be poor people in the land. That is why I am commanding you, you must willingly open your hand to your afflicted and poor brother in your land. God, may you bless the word today. In the name of Jesus. Three questions that we ask about being open-handed Christians, of helping people, using our resources for those less fortunate than ourselves. Are you ready? First, we ask this question, am I giving willingly? Am I giving willingly? We look at verse 8, and the command that's been given is not to be hard-hearted or tight-fisted. But in verse 8, he says, open up your hand, freely loan or freely give. Now, this is in context of something that the Israelites had to practice, which was the seven-year debt forgiveness program. And what happened every 7 years in Israelite history, if you owed something to somebody or you loaned something to somebody, when that seventh year came, the debt was forgiven. It was over. Now, who would like the 7-year debt forgiveness program, all right? Isn't God good? He came up with that. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? All those people talk about loan forgiveness, they're just robbing it from God's word, you know? That's all they're doing. God came up with that. 7 years, you forgive people their debts. But the command was that they were to be generous, not just on the 7th year to release people from debts, but they were to be generous, what? Year-round. That just because the 7th year was coming doesn't mean that's the only time you're generous. You were to be freely helping people year-round. And the Lord told us that this was, that they were to develop these open hands. It was a lifestyle of helping. It was God giving them a new land, and it was a way that their brothers would be protected inside of that land. Now, many of you all have been shopping, or you have been out to eat, fast food restaurants, and you will go in, you'll buy your stuff, you'll order your meal or whatnot, and then they will say this: would you like to donate to such and such cause today? Now, I always struggle with that, okay? Because normally the causes are really good. You know, it's for cancer research, it's to help children and that sort of thing. But sometimes I'm like, dude, just give me my chicken nuggets. I want out of here, okay? And I think, oh, I can't do that. If I do that, I'm a jerk, and I'm bad, and I'm a pastor in the community. And if I don't give a dollar to such and such charity, what are they going to say? I'm going to look like a hypocrite. And I say, yeah, put the dollar on there. And I walk out, and I'm like, whoo, I dodged a bullet, you know. Praise God. Nobody in the community, because I said no to some lady at Wendy's, is going to talk bad about me. Praise God. But you know, when I've done that, and my heart's not been in it, I've not given willingly. Did you know that? I gave grudgingly, really. I didn't really want to give to what. It was part of a noble cause, you know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, you feel bad. Will you help feed the hungry as we give you this, like, extra loaded Big Mac? Sure, you know? So, absolutely. Yeah, but yet, what God is telling us is not to give because you feel like you have to. It's not that you see somebody in need and you're like, well, I guess we got to give. It's not what God's saying. God's saying to develop an attitude about you where if you see somebody less fortunate than you, you know what you do? You know what you do? You willingly help them out. You willingly go to them and you help them out. It's printed for you, but look at 2 Corinthians 9:7. Don't know if it's on the screen or not, Jesse, but listen to what the New Testament says. Each one of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. God doesn't want you to be this, you know, grumpy giver. Just say no to grumpy giving. Amen. But instead, God loves a what? Cheerful giver. When you see somebody in need, you give to them, and you give because you love God and you love people and you do it to help them. And when we give, we develop Christ-like character inside of us. Did you know that? Giving makes us very much like God. Not a God, but it makes us like the character of God. God is a giving God. Anybody ever been blessed by God's gifts in here today? Oh, man, the ultimate gift of Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. The ultimate gift of Jesus Christ. And when we freely help people that are less fortunate or that are struggling and we sacrifice for them, we build, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ-like character inside of us. So do you consider yourself today a generous person? I mean, are you today a person that is willing to contribute to help a need? Are you willing to, that coworker at work that's struggling to pay medical bills, are you willing to chip in and to help that? Are you willing to go mow that elderly person's yard for free? Are you willing to sacrifice, spend a little bit of extra money out of your own pocket to help somebody in your community? Are you willing to do that? The second question we ask is this: am I aware of stinginess? Am I aware that stinginess can creep in and can cause a lot of problems? We look at verse 9. Be careful, Moses tells us. Be careful that there isn't this wicked thought in your heart. And here's the wicked thought: the 7th year, the year of canceling debts, is near, and you are stingy towards your poor brother and you give him nothing. And the Bible says he'll cry out against the Lord and you'll be guilty. So, can you imagine if you're an Israelite? It's the 6th year, the 11th month, the 28th day. and they walk up to you. Brother, brother Israelite, shalom. Can you help me out today? Can you loan me something? Can you bless me? Can you help me? And you pull out your ancient Israeli iPhone. And you open up your calendar app. And you see there, oh no, there's only just a few more days, couple more days, until I have to release you from this debt. Dude, I ain't helping. Now, let's put ourselves in that person's shoes. If you knew somebody would be freed from their debt within 2 days when they asked you to help them out, would there be a big incentive for you to help? Didn't think so. All right? But yet, the Israelite was supposed to still help. They were still supposed to help. Because God was building within them a character of giving and taking care of each other. Even if they loaned something to somebody or they gave something to somebody, when that seventh year hit, bam, it was forgiven. And the temptation would be not to give. And the Bible says that that person would cry out to God for help. And then God would hold the person that didn't help them guilty, it says. So Moses tells us to be aware of a stingy heart. Some translations, yours might say this, or beware of giving begrudgingly or with a grudge in your heart. See, we have to be careful today to know that if we are tight-fisted, there are spiritual consequences to that. It makes us, you ready for this? A cold person. Giving people are not cold people. Did you know that? Stingy people are cold people. Now, we live in the day and age of reality television. And we're taught very early on, if you watch reality television, it's all about money. You got to win the prize. You got to revamp the property and you got to resell it. Maybe one of the strangest reality TV shows that they ever made, and I hope they quit making, I don't even know if they make anymore, is the TV show Hoarders. Any Hoarder fans in the house today? Carry your vomit bag with you when you watch that show. The one that got me was the rat hoarder. New. New. Really, hoarding is what? A sign of sickness is what that is, that you have to hold on and hold on and hold on, especially to that extent. Yeah, you could go to my garage and make a case. Well, Kenny, you're a hoarder. Yeah, I get it. I just need to clean my garage, okay? I get it. But hoarding is a sickness, and what is the answer to sickness? You have to have a treatment for sickness. What is the treatment to greed and materialism and selfishness? Are you ready? The treatment is godly generosity. Listen to what James tells us in James chapter 2, 15 through 16. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, look what it says, what good is it? Can I put that in modern day terminology? Somebody comes to you, and I've got a need, I'm struggling, and you say this, well, I'll pray for you. Or they put a need on Facebook, praise or prayers or praying, and you walk away. And you say, not my problem. But the New Testament says, what good are your prayers? What good is your good intentions if you know somebody in need and you say, God bless you, but you don't sacrifice to help them? That's what it says. So we understand that we cannot be stingy people as children of God. We cannot be people that have stinginess in our heart. We need to pray that God removes that from us, greed in us, the quest for more and more money, nicer and nicer stuff. We have to pray that God fights that within us, and that the Holy Spirit lets us be content with what we have and also use what we have to help other people. Y'all with me this morning, church? If you think I'm talking about giving to the church, you've missed it today. Y'all get that, right? We're talking about helping the needy today. Y'all with me on that? All right, come on, wake up a little bit, all right? Wake up. I think you've tuned out, all right? Wake up a little bit, because we're talking about helping the needy today. And the third point is this. Am I looking for opportunities to help people? Verse 11, I love it. For there will never cease to be poor people in the land. That is so strange, because when you study the year of debt release, you just go up a few verses before in verse 4, God says there should be no poor people in your land. He says that. And then here he says there will always be poor people. Which meant what? Are you ready? They're not doing it. They're not doing their job. They're not helping each other. God says, if you do what I tell you to do, there won't be poor among you. And down here, he says what? There will always be poor. Why? Because they're not doing their job. He knows it, Jerry. He knows they won't do it. He's given them a plan to keep the entire community out of poverty, and they won't do it because of greed. They won't do it. And he goes on, I'm commanding you, you must willingly open your hand. Now listen, to who? To your afflicted, those that's been hurt, and the poor brother in your land. Now this was an Israelite command. We don't practice the debt thing like the Israelites do by command, but Jesus would teach us more than that, that we would forgive people, that we would actually lend without what? Expecting it back. Jesus takes this to a whole nother level than the Israelites had. He takes the technicalities out of it and he says, just bless people. That's what Jesus does, and he gives us some crazy commands. He blows it off the roof. I mean, you think what Moses is saying is rough. Read what Jesus says about giving to people and helping people. And you know what? Jesus even says, love your enemies. Man, I mean, your neighbor that you just absolutely hate because he built his fence 2 feet over on your property. He's got a flat tire. And Jesus tells you, don't go out there and gloat over his flat tire. You go over there and help change that tire. That's what we're talking about. Amen. Y'all with me, church? That's what we're talking about today, is helping people. Jesus just blows this off the roof. And the command is that the Israelites in their land, so this was a national command. This was for their brotherhood. Again, we as Christians, it's a little bit different. When we look at those that are in our land, we think about a couple of things. We think about the church. Who in the church do we need to help that's connected to us immediately, that we sacrifice for and we help and we love, etc.? But second, what about Christianity in the United States? What about ministerial needs, mission work, global Christianity? What about areas of the world where Christians are undergoing persecution or famine or things like that? We are to be involved in that. I love the Kentucky Baptist Convention. They're doing these buckets, the bucket project, maybe something we could do this year. I don't know. But they take buckets and they fill it with hospice items and personal items and hygienic items. And it takes a little bit of money to do it. It takes about $90 to bake a bucket, $90 to $100 for a single bucket. And they take those. The KBC helps deliver that through the Southern Baptist Convention Disaster Relief Global. And what they do is they go and they deliver these items for people that are in hospice, that people that are dying in jungle huts with no medical care, so they can have some dignity when they die. Well, I bet we could do a couple of baskets. What do you all think? Or buckets? And I'm not a gambler, so I better not bet. But I think we can do it. I think we can do it. I think we can get a couple. I look at these shoes that we're giving, man. We giving shoes to the community, this whole campaign, a shoe drive at our church. That's amazing. Look at this. Isn't that awesome to see that? Jesus tells us to stretch. So we got to look. Where's the hurt in our community? Where's the hurt in our church? Just keep your eyes open. All right? Now listen. 1 John 3:17, the New Testament. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, this is tough. You ready? So John says you've got a possession and a brother doesn't have a basic need and you don't care. I'm so glad I'm reading God's word today and I'm not just telling you this. But what does it say? Can we read this together? How can God's love reside in him? So, Kenny, if we don't help the poor or those in need, and we're not concerned about the hurting in our community, is John saying that God's love is not in us? Yes. Do you think Jesus cares for the poor? Yes. Do you think Jesus cares for the hurting? Absolutely. Listen, I think one of the greatest tragedies is that we've let government take care of the poor. Can I tell you who's supposed to take care of the poor? We are. We are. We're the ones that's to build hospitals. We're the ones that's to offer love and prayer and support. We're the ones that's to help pick up the wounded and the hurting and the sick. We're the ones that are supposed to help the poor. That's the church's job. And let me tell you something, when the church is doing it, it's a lot better. Because we are commissioned to do it. We don't need an incentive. We don't need a paycheck to help somebody. Because Jesus Christ is inside of us. And we help. Sadly, many churches aren't structured that way to help the poor. But I pray Life Community will be. Amen? I pray Life Community will be. In closing, have you ever been on the end, the receiving end of generosity? Many of us have. And we know what it's like when somebody loves us and they sacrifice for us. If you have children, they are definitely on the end of receiving end of generosity. Amen. Everybody ready for December? Ugh. Three kids, ugh, you know. You know, our church is finding herself on the receiving end of generosity. As Hall Street Baptist Church has voted to become a legacy church, and they have sacrificially offered us their facilities and their properties, we've been blessed. We've been blessed. Once in a lifetime thing for somebody to offer, that just doesn't happen. You know that? Doesn't happen. That's a God thing. That's a God thing if I've ever seen one. To receive that kind of gift and to have God do that. But you know, receiving that gift makes me incredibly humble. It paints me in humility. Because I think about receiving a gift like that, and I ask myself this question, I ask this church this question. If you've received a gift like that, how could you ever use that facility for your own gain? How could you say, well, this is my room. This is my carpet color. This is my paint color. You have totally forgotten this amazing gift that was given to you. Amen? Or I think we need to do this first, or that first, or this first, or that first. I think we should do the hokey pokey. I love you, Mike. How can we become territorial and greedy with a gift like that? Amen, church? And let me tell you something. Here after the service is over and we're dismissed and all that stuff, and our family will vote to receive it, let me tell you something. If you vote to receive that building today, you're making a vote and a commitment to raise your commitment to take care of it. You're making, when you vote to do that, you're making a commitment that you will not become territorial or possessive or greedy. You're making a commitment to use that building not as a shrine, not as a church. And by the way, we're not receiving a church. We are a church. We're receiving a gift. It's a building. And we're not, and if you vote to receive that building, you don't need to be going in there demanding paint colors, demanding carpet colors. You need to follow the leadership of the church. And I say that not too often. Well, you should always. Never mind. What I'm saying is this. I'm going to back myself in a corner. Got to be careful. What I'm saying is this. If you get in there, and you listen to me, and you get greedy, and you start fussing and fighting over carpet color, paint color, I want nothing to do with it. All right? Now, I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me. This church will go on with or without a building. You understand? Ken's getting a little bold this morning. All right? He's getting a little pastorally this morning. Hear me. We're going to go in there. We're going to follow a plan. You hear me? We're going to follow a plan. We're not going to be quick. We're going to be patient. Amen? Y'all get quiet on me. Come on. You're going to be patient. You're going to follow the leadership. All right? You're going to apply our memory verse. And if anybody grumbles, anybody mumbles, I just hope and pray God doesn't give you manna because he might take it away. Now, you hear me on this. I'm pretty serious right now. You hear me? Hear me. We're not getting a church. We are a church. And we will use whatever gift God gives us in his generosity, in his grace, the best stewards we can, the most gracious we can. We will use it strategically. We will be patient with that gift. We will do it the right way. Do you understand? Do you understand? All right? Now, let me talk to the rest. Now, I've already opened the can. Might as well deliver it. You ready? Let me talk to the rest of y'all that are nervous. You're scared. What if we can't afford it? What if we get in there and everything goes sour and we all short circuit and if the church splits, blah, 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 blah. Now, let me talk to y'all for a second. All right? Y'all need to take some Xanax this morning. Okay? All right? You hear me? You need to take some Xanax. And second, you need to start praying and have faith. All right? You need some faith. And you need to believe that wherever God leads, he will provide. You hear me? He ain't going to give us a gift that he won't take care of. Did you know that? Kenny, how are you going to vote? I'm going to vote for the dumb building. You hear me? Because we're going to use it for God's glory. We're going to use it as a tool. I don't care if it has doilies and flowers in the foyer or if it's got beanbags and neon lights. We're going to use it for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to do. Now, I done scared the kids. I got to take them out. They're crying. I done scared the kids. Welcome to Life Community. That neighborhood's not going to know what's going to hit them. Sorry, kids. Kids start crying. My goodness. Maybe I need to calm down a little bit. See me later, all right? Here's what I'm talking about. Y'all got the picture, amen? You all know what you need to do as a church this afternoon. Be excited. Have faith. And work together. Y'all with me? Do I need to go on another little tirade again? All right. Say it with me. I'm going to be excited. No, come on. Thank you. Say it with me. I'm going to be excited. I'm going to work together as a team. And I'm going to use it for God's glory. Amen. Amen, Mike. I want you to know that every time generosity happens and affects it impacts somebody. That's my point. When you are being generous to somebody, it touches them. Amen? That's what this all comes to. You're dealing with real flesh and blood, real people. And when you help them, you're dealing with a real soul. Amen? A real soul. A building or no building, the greatest gift ever was Jesus. That he died on the cross for our sins. And how could we not be generous today? You know, the challenge today in this message is that if you don't know Christ, that Jesus would come into your life and you would receive something. Because he's awesome. Jesus is awesome. He wants to save you. He loves you. So if you don't know Jesus, I invite you to get saved. And I really struggled with what I'm getting ready to do. I mean, I really went back and forth on it. And I just think the timing is right, and I think it's good. I look at these shoes that we're donating and we're giving to children, but we're also going to try to find adult shoes to give to the poor and maybe in another country. And I think this is very appropriate today. I think we need to make a statement that says we are a selfless people. And I can't believe I'm getting ready to do what I'm getting ready to do. But I'm going to do it. This doesn't mean that you have to feel obligated to do this or that you are coerced. Remember the thing at Wendy's? Would you like to donate a dollar? It's not what I'm talking about. But I'm going to challenge you. Now listen, this is for 18 and up. If you're under the age of 18, you cannot do this. Okay, you got to go home and talk to your mom and dad because they got school stuff and that sort of thing. But if you're 18 or older, I'm talking to you, 18 and under, this does not apply. But to make a statement today that we will be a generous people, I'm going to challenge you to do something. These are my best shoes, by the way. I'm donating my shoes today. And anybody that feels led of God today to walk out of here in their sock feet to help somebody, I challenge you to do that, to make a statement today that you will live a selfless Christianity. Some of you all can't do that. School shoes and stuff like that. Maybe special shoes you got to wear, I understand. But you have a heart and you know what to do with it. Use your heart today. Use the Spirit. Father, we love you and we thank you for Jesus. And God, we ask you to help us to be a selfless people, a sacrificial people, because Jesus died for us, God. And I pray that we'll never forget the greatest gift ever was Jesus Christ. So Lord, today we just want to say that we want to be selfless and sacrificial because you were. Help us today. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand? If you need to make a decision, would you come? I challenge you. Let's lay some footwear down on the altar of God today.